Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Well, we've been talking about serving, not just living to serve, but loving to serve, which there is a difference. Loving to serve. It doesn't always come naturally. Serving is a thing that comes from the heart. And we have to surrender and really give our heart to Him to fully be able to serve in the capacity that He has designed for us. Serving is central to a Christian's life. And it's good to remind ourselves of this, right? We should continually examine ourselves. It's not a one and done deal. Walking out our faith means we're constantly measuring it by the word and saying, where do I fall with what the word has instructed me? Where do I line up? So in this whole talk of service, today we're talking about consumer or contributor. Consumer or contributor. I like to define things because it helps us better understand. Let's start with the definition of consumer. A consumer is an end user of a product or service. They're on the receiving end. A contributor is somebody who contributes to something or adds value to it. So the question I want to ask ourselves today is, what is the thing that a Christian should be contributing to? You're allowed to speak. You're allowed to say things. I like interaction. What do we think that we are supposed to be contributing to? Building the kingdom, sharing the gospel. Yes, you guys on the front row, come on, that was very predictable. Yes, we should be building God's kingdom. That is the main thing. We as believers should be adding value to the kingdom of God. Why? Because this is what Jesus was about. He came to build the kingdom of God, and He commissioned us all to do the same thing. So the first principle I want to give you is service is a means to build the kingdom of God. Right? It's a means for us to continue to construct. We see in His prayer, Jesus' prayer, that He demonstrates not only how we should pray, but the end goal of it all, which is to bring heaven on earth. He ends by saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Please say this with me. As I serve, I'm building God's kingdom. My kids love Legos. In fact, to give you a more recent story, as the boys were coming back into town, Esperanza was with me, and we were out getting a few things, and she spots this Lego car. It's really complex, and she is, like, super excited about getting it as a welcome back gift for Christian, so we get it. And I am both surprised and not surprised at the fact that he constructed the whole thing yesterday with her. But if you know anything about Legos, if there's a few, even the smallest piece, like sometimes it throws your whole thing off. So, and it is the same thing with construction, you know, like if the foundation is wrong, if there's a missing block or a beam, like it can affect the whole construct of it. Well, I want you to know your role is important. You have a specific block. You have a specific area in the kingdom. God has given you a specific set of skills that you can use to help construct His kingdom. And it's very important. Sometimes we don't think that, but it's true. So your role in serving fills a place in the kingdom. And we have to be careful not to lose sight of this. Some people can begin to prioritize building in their own life, consuming week after week, right? We're talking about consuming or contributing. They come, you consume, you consume, you consume, and then what do you do to give back? What do you do to build back? So there is value in our contribution. God has given us all an assignment. There's not one person who doesn't have an assignment. If you're on this earth, you have an assignment that is directly associated with building His kingdom. And we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing with what He's put in my hands? I know we've talked about that before. But He's given us all something, something that can be a blessing to someone else. Am I using it to serve and help others and bring them closer to Christ? Or am I building my own kingdom? We live in a very selfish world, so it's important for us to always remember, like, am I building my own kingdom or am I building His kingdom? Psalm 84:10 says, "A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. And I love this scripture because it helps keep me humble. It helps me remember the important thing is for me to be building his house, building his people, building his kingdom, more than if I'm brushing shoulders with huge people of influence. Not that any of that is bad, but sometimes people get so caught up in the successes that the world defines. But we have to keep our mind and our spirit grounded in what he calls success. And the priority is always building his kingdom. Remember, I heard you mention this morning the scripture that says when we seek first his kingdom, he adds everything else to us. So if we remember that, we're able to continue to plow and build and be encouraged that he always blesses us when we do that. Serving is about obedience to God and helping others. Sometimes we can get caught up thinking it's about us or wanting to do things a very specific way, but serving in itself is very selfless. If you watch anybody in the role of service, somebody who waits tables, somebody who is in service in a hotel, they're trained, or at least a good one, knows that it's about helping the customer. It's about helping the person and serving them, putting them before yourself. And so when we put God first, when we put others first, we're able to really be in that position of serving. I want to talk about excuses and disqualifications. There's different reasons that we can be slow to contribute. Some of us will relate to this. The first one is our sinful, selfish nature. We have a tendency to do what's comfortable. Committing my time to serving can be uncomfortable. Committing to showing up when I don't feel like it can be uncomfortable. Committing to stretching myself by doing things for others can be uncomfortable. It comes with the territory. And so that's the whole point of putting our flesh to death, right? Every day is to say, I'm not going to give in to my flesh and feeling like, well, I don't feel like doing this today, or I don't want to do it, or it's getting a little bit too uncomfortable for me, so I'm going to pull back. No, those are the things that we have to push back against. So coming back to this, serving is not about us. It's about putting God first and others first. Now, the second thing is the enemy's influence and strategy. So he knows. He's been doing this for a while. He knows how to get to us. He knows how to plant a thought, plant a seed through a thought. And he'll influence our thoughts to go in a certain direction if we allow it. So he'll begin by planting thoughts, doubtful thoughts about yourself, about others, about the effectiveness of it all, about your ability, introducing fears, fear of failure, fear of what if it all implodes, a fear of what happens if I embarrass myself, whatever, you fill in the blank. But we can all relate to the uncertainty of doing something that's uncomfortable. Right. And sometimes we begin to label ourselves and say, well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I don't know enough Bible, or I don't have enough time, or I don't have everything together. I've heard that one a lot. Yeah. And even personally, like that's something that we've experienced. We don't always have everything together. But it's funny, too, because we can easily compare ourselves to others, which the Bible tells us not to do that. But it's such an easy thing to do to start comparing and be like, well, so-and-so has a greater gift. Like, they should be the ones serving. I don't know what I have to contribute. How can I contribute? But if we look at Scripture and we look at the disciples and we see how they contributed to building the kingdom in the Scriptures, we realize that none of them were perfect. None of them had it all together. Like what happened was there was a crossroad where Jesus intercepted their daily lives and they chose to respond in their imperfect state, right, which is so powerful. It's an example to us that even though we don't have things together, that we can still come to a place where we can say, God, I surrender. I surrender, and I know that you can take what I have in my hand and make it something great for your kingdom. Right. So I want to just kind of touch back a few weeks ago. We were celebrating the anniversary of the church, and one of the things that we spoke about was when Pastor Joshua and I had the privilege of transitioning and becoming the lead pastors of this church, things were not perfect. it was not like conditions were not perfect. Our plan was not perfect. It was like accelerated. We did not feel ready. So it was like all of the things that we could think of that we could say, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But the truth is, like, we came to a place where we realized, like, if God has allowed this and God has said for us to do it, then we just need to trust that he's going to empower us to walk it out. And we were able to do that through his grace and his strength. And so I tell you that to say that things are not always perfect conditions. They're not always comfortable. But when God says to do something, there's safety and obedience. He will cover you. He will help you. He will propel you forward. He will advance you. So we can look all through Scripture and see that there were people who felt inadequate, that they had failed, and they didn't feel that they were perfect. But it's not about being perfect to serve. It's not even about the perfect conditions for us. It's about true surrender, and it's about not being dead weight. That's something for me that is a personal thing. I said, God, I never want to be dead weight in the kingdom. I want to make sure that I am contributing, that I'm doing, because, I mean, like, I think of what happens to something that is dead weight. It gets cut off. I don't want to be cut off. I don't know what that looks like to be cut off, and I don't want to find out. So the challenge is we shouldn't just be receivers. We should be givers. We should be doers. We shouldn't just be consumers. We should be contributors. So talking about full surrender, James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And I think to myself, man, that's a great reminder that it's important for us to not just hear things, consume it, but to apply it, bring forth a daily application of what he's instructing us to do. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Paul, and I don't want to assume that everybody knows the whole backstory, so I'm going to give a summary. Paul was not always named Paul. He was first named Saul, and Saul was a persecutor of Christians.
Yes, he was.
He was actively involved in arresting and imprisoning believers. In fact, the Bible says that Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Wow. Sounds like there was a lot in his heart of aggressiveness against the believers. So he's on his way to fulfill one of his missions to arrest more people. And he was approaching a city called Damascus. And it says that suddenly a light from heaven shone down on him. He fell to the ground. He heard the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you? I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. So the men that were with him had to help him at that point because he had gone blind from the shining light. He was there for 3 days. And there was a believer in Damascus called Ananias. God started speaking to him about finding Saul and laying hands on him so he could see again. So let's read on what happens. Acts 9:17 says, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. He then got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. So soon after his conversion, they start referencing to him as Paul. The man, and I just want to say, like, he went on to be an apostle.
Yes.
He went on to be a missionary for Christ. So now the cause was, like, from being against Christians to being, I need to make more believers, more followers of Christ. And this is the powerful part, is that he did more to shape Christianity than any other individual other than Christ himself. So what can we learn from this? If God can use somebody like Saul, that's an imperfect state, right? Not just imperfect, but like with hate towards his very people. He can use us.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure there's nobody in this room that's done anything like that. And if there is, let's pray after service, okay? But seriously, like, if God can use someone like that who has influenced so much of what we do today, our leadership, how we, all the letters to the churches that he wrote that have influenced how we teach, how we disciple, we can learn from this. We can learn that God is no respecter of person. He's even used animals. Like, God can use us. He can use us in our imperfect state. So Paul had reasons to disqualify himself from ministry, as we all do. But even in that, he was able to surrender everything and realize what the cause was. What was the mission? And he responded to God's call to action. Another example, and some of us have heard this before, is found in Isaiah 6, 5 through 8, which says, "Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?'" And it goes on to say where he says, "Here I am, send me." And this was very symbolic of the same thing. When we allow ourselves to be purified by God, it's not by our own strength. It's not by our own might, our own spirit. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. He empowers us to do what we need to do. So the bottom line for us is, are we willing? Are we willing? Can we surrender in our imperfections and say, "God, I want to serve you. I want to help those around me. I want to contribute back to building your kingdom. I want to be counted in what you're doing." If we can get to that place, the rest, he'll take care of it. I've seen it even in our own lives. If we can get to the place where we can say, "God, I feel limited, but I know that you are unlimited. And so I'm allowing you to do what you want to do in me and through me so that it can be limitless, the things that you want to do." When we get to that place of surrender, you will be amazed to see God's hand at work in your life. I know some of you have already experienced that, but I just want to encourage you, if there's any of you that might feel like, "What do I have to contribute?" No, you have something. God has given it to you, and it's within you, and it just needs awakening. And I do want to remind us, this year God spoke to us at the beginning that it's a year of advancement. Advancement means action. We have to continue to move forward. So as we're doing that, we're going to pray. God, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us once again to continue to connect with your presence, connect with you, Holy Spirit. And right now, God, I thank you, Lord. You are not a God of condemnation, but you, Holy Spirit, convict the hearts of man to where you see fit. God, I thank you today. There's no condemnation through Christ Jesus. So today, Lord, we thank you that you awaken us in the areas that we need to be awakened in. God, if there's anything that has hindered us, any thoughts, any processes that we've allowed to overtake our thinking, Lord, or even just spiritually that have hindered us from being able to progress forward in growth spiritually, God, I pray today, Lord, that you would remove it. Lord, we just command it to be broken in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would release freedom in this house right now, freedom upon every heart. I thank you, God, that you would open up our spirit to be able to receive what you're wanting to impart today. God, we draw close to you. Your word says that when we draw close, you draw close to us as well. So I thank you, Lord. Today we take the step of faith of believing, Lord, that you are the God who empowers your people. We don't just sing of these things that we're designed to win. We don't just sing that we're overcomers, but God, we believe that you truly are the God of right now, the God who can empower us to do everything that needs to get done. You have made us to be a mighty people. And so God, today we choose to follow after you. We choose to be counted in your kingdom. We choose to build your kingdom, God, and we don't just say it with our words, but God, we let our hearts connect with that today. So Lord, I thank you, God, for continuing to propel us forward in your will for each and every one of us, God, and corporately as a house. God, you've called this house to be a light. You've called this house to be hope. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would be carriers of your presence, carriers of your hope, carriers of your light. God, that when we speak to people, they can sense your presence is with us. So, God, today we surrender all. If you could say that with me, I surrender all. And Holy Spirit, I allow you to work through me. I allow you to show me the areas that I need to surrender fully to you. Fill my heart and use me for your purpose, God. I give you everything today. I thank you for your strategy, your mindset. In Jesus' name. And with every eye bowed still, every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give us an opportunity. If there's anybody who feel you might feel like you've drifted in your relationship with God, or maybe you've never had a relationship with him, I want to give us an opportunity to reconnect with the Holy Spirit and connect with his presence today. If everybody would repeat after me, Lord, I give you my heart. I recognize that I need you. I recognize that you have died for me, Jesus. I accept your forgiveness. I surrender everything. I invite you, Lord, to walk through this life with me and show me the way. Bring me closer to you, God. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, don't forget to take the next steps. It's important when you make a decision that you act on it. So you make a decision, you act on it. So whether it's getting involved in some shape or form or fashion, you can connect by scanning the QR code for volunteering. Also, when it comes to walking out your faith, it's better to do it within community. We're not meant to do this by ourselves. So we have different groups that you can get connected with that we can encourage you along the way. And I'll leave you with this thought. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is with you, you will be.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.